You may be seated. Our second reading this morning is from 1 John chapter 1, starting at verse 1 and then through chapter 2, verse 2. We declare to you what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. This life was revealed, and we have seen it and testified to it and declare to you the eternal life that was with the Father and that was revealed to us. We declare to you what we have seen and heard so that you may also have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him while we are walking in darkness, we lie, and we do not do what is true. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he who is faithful and just will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
So I just want to start off by thanking Pastor Brian for giving me this opportunity to preach this morning on Confirmation Sunday. What a fantastic day. What a fantastic day of celebration this is. Now, the only problem is he didn't give me any kind of time limit this morning. He should have probably put some parameters around that. I'm used to teaching the youth, and I teach for an hour. And usually we don't even finish our lesson. So somebody stop me when I'm at about 45 minutes, okay?
I'm right behind you.
Listen, I don't know about you, but I feel super blessed this morning. What an awesome morning. We're going to do a baptism here in a little while. That's something to celebrate. And in the later service, we're going to do another baptism, and then we're going to confirm 8 young people who are standing up saying, I have decided to follow Jesus. I want this. I want faith for me. And so this is a beautiful thing for us to celebrate this morning. And I feel blessed because, we're coming up on me celebrating, well, I think it was probably about this Sunday last year, maybe next Sunday, where my family joined this church. So it was 1 year ago that we joined this church. And I've gotten to know a lot of you. There's still some I'm trying to figure out and still trying to learn your names. But I feel like we've made some new friends. Just a little side note. I'm paying attention to how this works for me. You know, we were at our previous church for 15 years, and when we started off there, we weren't really paying too close attention to what does it take to really become part of the family that is this church. And so I'll say to you, it's been 1 year, and I'm a staff member, and so, I'm sort of forced to get to know people a lot more than the normal everyday person coming into this church. I'll tell you that although I've made some good friends here, and I'm getting closer to you, I'm not quite there yet in terms of this is my church family, you know what I mean? Like, that's another step. And so I want to bring that to your attention because I'm realizing how difficult it is for people to walk in to a new church on a Sunday morning. And what does that mean over the next, period of time? And sometimes we think, well, if they just come for 1 or 2 or 3 Sundays, we got them. They're going to be a member here and they're going to join. But man, it takes so much more than that. So that's part of my lesson this morning. We're going to talk more about that. I feel super blessed that my family, a bunch of my boys are going to be here today, not just the two that are getting confirmed. Two of my boys are getting confirmed today, which is fantastic. And then some of my other sons will be here, and their girlfriends and whatnot, and our grandbaby. So there's another reason to come to 1050 service, see the confirmands, and you can meet our new grandbaby. And then next month I'll celebrate 1 year as being your youth pastor. That has been a super, super blessing, really a lifelong dream, something that God has been forming in me and working on in me really since I was 19. So that's 30 years. You know, I was very involved with the youth at my previous church, and so he's just been building in me and all this kind of stuff, and it has been a super blessing. And then I look at our church and all the great things. We've mentioned some of them this morning, working with the food pantry. Our preschool, we have a preschool here. Our youth program, our children's program, Ashley, our children's director, is doing a great job, and the children's program is vibrant. We have a lot of kids coming to that. The youth program is going very well. This summer, you, church, are supporting 24 people to go on mission trip, 18 youth and 6 adults, to go down to South Texas and help out with disaster relief. That's going to be a fantastic trip, and you are any of you that have or are serving on finance, you guys approved a budget that says we're going to invest in that. You've invested in your youth program. You've invested in this wonderful, if you don't know about the MAC, the Methodist Activity Center, this building that's right over here across the way, beautiful building. That has provided us a youth center and then also a new space to form a new congregation, and that's what Pastor Ricky's working on. So just all the things that we do here, church, I feel super blessed, and I hope that you feel that way too. And another thing I've realized along in my journey is that the way that we grow our church, the most powerful way that we can grow our church is for you or I, when we have a friend that's not part of this church, not part of a church, to invite them here. And so I hope that you feel proud enough about your church. Listen, our very first Sunday here, we didn't know you guys. You didn't know us. Pastor Brian knew me. Ricky wasn't here yet. You guys didn't know us. You didn't know who we were. And I remember Jack Smith, right? Jack Smith was standing outside down on the sidewalk down there. Not only figured out that we were not somebody that he knew, he welcomed us. And he actually brought us into the building, introduced us to some other people, got us to the welcome desk, got us to the pastor. It was fantastic. The welcome, and then before and after the service, you guys talked to us, you embraced us, and I'll tell you, over the past couple years, well, 2 years previous to being here, my family, we visited 60 or 70 different churches, and I will tell you, most churches don't have a clue as to what they're doing in welcoming new people into a church on Sunday morning. You guys were in our top 5, maybe top 2 welcoming experiences that we had. So that was fantastic. So I want to encourage you to be inviting people here, because when people come here, they feel that welcome. And if they stick around long enough, they'll hear about all these great and wonderful things that we do as a church, not just to grow spiritually, but to serve people, to love people, and to be the light, you know, that's in this world, that is needed in this world. So, that's not really my lesson this morning, but I just want to encourage you to be about inviting people to this church. Be proud of your church and feel good about, you know, the experience that someone's going to have here coming to this church. Okay, so when I first asked Pastor Brian about preaching this morning, I was like, here's some of the things that I want to, you know, tell the church about confirmation and kind of what's going on. I didn't have any scriptures picked out yet. And then a few weeks ago, he said, well, here's the scriptures, you know, out of the lectionary for this morning. I looked at him, I said, well, this is perfect. So God, again, just, you know, providing what we need here. All right, so in Acts, it says the community of believers was one in heart and mind. And one of my messages to the confirmands, but it's a Bible message to you, and I kind of just said it, that being part of a church community is one of the most important things that we can do in terms of working on our faith. You know, I was 19 when I came, when I made the decision myself to follow Jesus. That's 30 years of working on my spiritual life. And I know, and I learned a lesson from one of our adults back then that, man, you've got to stay in church, Patrick. You've got to be connected to a community of faith. And so wherever you are, just make that commitment to be part of a community of faith somewhere. If you're visiting, you know, do that in your own town. If you live around here, do that here. You're going to grow in your faith. And there's other ways to grow in your faith, but that is a key thing. Like if you don't do that, you're not going to get a reminder every Sunday morning about being the light of the world. You're not going to get the reminder of, you know, the world is telling us one thing, but the Bible and Jesus tell us something that's very radically different than the world, what the world's telling us. And that's where we get our sense of hope and peace and joy from. It says the apostles continued to bear powerful witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and an abundance of grace was at work among them all. And so this is very clearly telling us we have got to continue to be about telling people about what Jesus is about. Now, here's the thing. When I was 19, I remember thinking, okay, man, this is the most fantastic thing that's ever happened to me. I was literally born again, right? Like when I was in high school, I was, in terms of the popularity scale, I was down near the very bottom. I hung out with a bunch of people at lunchtime. We were all at the bottom together. Right? That was our only thing that we had in common, was we were all at the bottom. To this day, I'm not really good friends with them anymore, right? These are not lifelong friends for me. We were just hanging out because we were at the bottom together. Luckily, at least we had somebody to sit with, you know. But when I came to know Christ, I felt this overwhelming sense of freedom. Freedom from having to worry about the popularity scale, right? And knowing that I was loved no matter what. But I remember thinking, man, I want to tell everybody about Jesus. But here's the problem. How do I do that without turning people away from Jesus? How do I do that without sounding like a Jesus freak, you know? And making people feel like, well, I don't want to have anything to do with that. And so I've literally been spending the past 30 years trying to answer that question. I had told my youth at my last church about this. You know, how do you be a real, genuine, authentic person who happens to love God? And then how do you take advantage of those opportunities that God puts in front of you to tell people about Jesus, right? Well, after 30 years, I think one of the biggest lessons, and it's part of this bearing powerful witness, and also in 1 John, where it says, we announce to you what existed from the beginning. What existed from the beginning? In the very beginning, God spoke into existence the universe that we live in, that we enjoy, right? It is incredible. I mean, it's literally beyond a miracle. This universe that we live in, this earth that we live on, the fact that we are all here as human beings, and that we have so much to be, that so much that blesses us, it's just beyond a miracle, right? And God literally spoke this into existence. That's what the Bible teaches us. And I believe that that is a testimony to when Genesis also talks about that we were formed in God's image. I think that is part of what our image is about, speaking. Like, there is power in our voice, in our speaking to people, right? And that power can be used for good or evil. And so one of the things that I've learned over the past 30 years is that it's when, what you have to do is you have to speak about Jesus over and over and over again, right? So you don't just, I don't think, maybe some people are blessed this way, I wasn't. I could, you know, I didn't just come to know the Lord and then all of a sudden I just knew the words to say to people to encourage them to come and follow Jesus. But what I have done over the, well, since 2001 or so about the last 17 years, I've been teaching youth at our old church, senior high youth, and here I'm teaching all of them. And what I have learned is that it's in that speaking and that teaching where I feel like I've truly learned my faith to where I can stand up here today with conviction and tell you that Jesus is the way, that what the world teaches us will only lead to destruction. You see this when you don't follow Jesus, when you find yourself in a predicament and you look back to the source of that, and there was some type of lying, cheating, stealing, some type of dishonoring people involved in that. And that's what brought you to this point of stress and anxiety, and your life is in chaos. And when you realize that, it's when we pursue light. This is the message that we have heard from him and announced to you. God is light, and there is no darkness in him at all. When we pursue that light, when we pursue that hope and joy and peace and love, that's when life seems to click better. It doesn't mean you're not going to face trials and tribulations, but you're going to be able to have this same feeling of feeling blessed through those, right? That even though you're going through some kind of hardship, God is with you. Even though someone's mad at you, God is with you. That's a beautiful feeling when you truly embrace that. And it takes years, maybe decades, to get to the point where you actively remember that and think about that when you're going through those times. And the really cool thing is that if we have not been people of Jesus, if we have not made that decision, we have the ability to make that decision because, my little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you don't sin. But if you do sin, if you've rejected Jesus along the way, if you rejected him this morning, you know, we mess up, right? There's a way. This is why Jesus came. This is why we need Jesus. But if you do sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. The more I study about my faith, the more I realize that I think, at least this is what God's teaching me right now, that our biggest problem is our idols. What gives you, ask yourself this question, what gives you a sense of honor and value and purpose? Is it your marriage? Is it your kids? Is it your job? Is it your sports or your band that you're involved with? What is it that gives you a sense of honor and value and purpose in life? And if that answer is not God, number one, then whatever that thing is, that has become your idol, maybe. Just suggesting that you think about that. Has that become your idol? And can you truly experience what God has intended for you in terms of peace and joy and love in your life? Is that thing going to always provide that for you? And if not, I would suggest to you that maybe you need to look to Jesus to be that thing that gives you a sense of honor and value and purpose. And the more I think about this and the more I try to practice that, the more it seems like my life makes more sense and it has more meaning. And as a side effect to that, you know, my life is filled with joy. Unfortunately, if you try to follow joy, that may lead to destruction. That may lead you to an idol that's not going to bring that to you. So, you know, my message for the confirmands this morning and my message to you is to stay connected to your church. Be a person of faith. Don't feel guilty if you don't have the words to share with someone. Just keep coming. Keep learning. And listen, Ashley and I, and there's countless other ways, we would love to have you be one of our teachers. It's in that teaching that you will be forced to dig deeper into your faith and figure out what this whole Jesus thing is about so that you can share that with others. You know, and you, if you're really scared about it, man, start with preschool. Right? They're very forgiving. In fact, they'll probably teach you a few things, you know. But I know that every time I get up in front to teach these kids, like I've had to prepare an hour or two before this lesson. Man, I had to learn something that I didn't learn before. And then they ask me questions, and I learn something from that, you know. So stay connected to your church. Figure out some way that you can be about being a teacher. And Ashley and I would be honored, and we will find a place for you if you want to do that in the children and youth program for sure. I always, when people get up to preach, I'm always like, okay, where are you going to land this thing? I don't have a good landing. But anyways, but I just want you to know that I'm honored and I feel blessed to be here as a youth pastor. I'm excited about this Sunday morning. I'm excited about what's happening at First Decatur, and I hope you are too. Amen.